The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 13th chapter. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then Jesus left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." The Gospel of the Lord. This last week, Evelyn came home with a riddle. It's the kind of riddle that my nephew and his girlfriend like to torture us with at family gatherings. The riddle is this: we're going on a journey, and we can only take things that fit through the little green glass door. So here's a couple of examples. You can take strawberries, but not bananas. You can take carrots, but not celery. You can take cheese, but not bread. And that's all the hints I'm giving you about the riddle. So what's frustrating is when you think you have the riddle figured out and then you're told that your guess is wrong. But I think it's even more frustrating when you finally have figured out the riddle and you can't believe that it took you so long to figure it out. We like solution. We like resolution, and we tend to struggle with ambiguity. So if you want to figure out the riddle, you'll have to ask me after worship. And I only had one person successfully solve it during first service, so no one else even wanted to play. When Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to," or "the kingdom of heaven is like," many of us feel like Jesus is telling us a riddle that we are meant to figure out. And even his disciples, when they get a chance, ask Jesus to explain the parables for them. When Jesus speaks to the crowd and when he speaks to his disciples, he gives us an idea of what the kingdom is like, both today and in the future. Now, the truth is that there is evil in the world. We might define it in different ways. We may see it manifested in different ways, but evil exists. Now, I've carried around with me my own personal definition of evil for a long time, and I do this because I really don't like the cop-out of "the devil made me do it," and I'll repeat those words later. So I think of evil as this. I think of evil as sin on corporate level. Meaning that we're capable of evil when in community we allow our sinful ideas to sound like truth. This kind of evil is perpetuated daily in many of the systems that have been created. And the reality of evil is that we are often all complicit on one level or another. What this parable points out to the hearer is that there will be a time of judgment. Like death, we will all face judgment. The wheat and the weeds will be separated, and the weeds will be bundled together and burned. This sounds like a solution, a resolution, so we like to focus in on the judgment. We begin to look around and say things like wheat, wheat, weed, wheat, weed, wheat, as if we're playing duck, duck, goose, or if you're from Minnesota, duck, duck, gray duck. I don't know why Minnesotans play duck, duck, gray duck, they just do. We like to play judge because it makes us feel better about ourselves. If I look at you and I only see thorns, then I can feel better about myself and feel pretty self-assured that I must be wheat. The world seems easier if we just recognize that some are weeds and some are wheat. But the parable is saying more than this, and our Lutheran theology makes us hear more than this. Take a look in the mirror, reflect on your life, and you will no doubt see weeds and wheat, times that you have bore fruit and times that you haven't. Because after all, we are all sinners who have fallen short of God's glory. We have all turned away from the love and salvation that was given to us on the cross. We confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 7. He says, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." You see, we often don't like to see our own guilt, so we like to misplace blame in the world. We say things like, "The devil made me do it." Or even worse, when we try to comfort someone who is suffering, we say things like, "Don't worry, it's part of God's plan." Or, "Don't worry, God won't give you more than you can handle." Or, "God's purpose for this will reveal itself in time." As if God is responsible for the suffering that is taking place, which is very far from the truth. You see a whole other kind of blame if you've been paying attention to the news in the last couple of days, and this blame is just as bad as any of the rest. But there are those who have said that the reason why John McCain now has a brain tumor is because he's not pushing forward the agenda of the administration clearly enough, which is just a strange way of pushing blame in the wrong direction as well. When the owner of the household in our parable is asked, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered them, "An enemy has done this." God wants for each of us abundant life, and God enters into our suffering so that we are not alone even when we cannot feel God's presence. God does not abandon or leave us alone. But Matthew's trying to make sense for his community that some believe and are following Jesus, and others seem to have fallen away from this belief. Matthew's gospel speaks of the reality of judgment, but also speaks to the reality that we have been called to live our lives in Christ and to bear fruit of that relationship. The harvest belongs to the Son of Man. We are the fruit of his labor. And this relationship is essential because it keeps us from thinking that we get to be the judge, and it keeps us from pointing our fingers at others. Now, later in Matthew's gospel, we are told clearly what bearing fruit is all about. He writes, "Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" one way that we see fruit being born, fruit being that we are bearing fruit, is when we are aware of the needs of our neighbors and we serve those needs. And I think even there's something else here with that as well, that when we serve our neighbors and we don't even know that we're doing it, there's something about that as well. Paul speaks to this in a different way. He says that we know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the whole creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Paul speaks directly to who we are and what is at stake just a couple of verses earlier. He says that if we are children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And we live in response to all of the promise and claims that God has placed on each one of us. So when we hear this parable of the weeds and the wheat, we cannot rush to a resolution. The weeds and the wheat have to be allowed to grow together, and only at the harvest can they be separated. The job of separating the wheat and the weeds is not ours. The harvest belongs to Jesus. We are the fruit of Christ's labor. We have been claimed by God, adopted into the family, made heirs of the kingdom of God, and we wait with longing to see this promise fulfilled. In fact, the whole creation longs for it, longs for a day when our bondage to sin will be over, longs for a day when the evil one no longer has power in our lives, longs for a day when the first fruits of the Spirit are ready for harvest. When we focus solely on the judgment, when we focus on Jesus' return, we lose sight of the promises already made to us. We have been promised that God is gracious and merciful. We have been promised that God forgives us all our sin. We can build up the body of the Christ, bearing fruit as individuals and bearing fruit as a community together. We can wait together, longing for a future that God has promised. And we can live each day knowing that evil is powerful, but that our Lord is even more powerful. And the one who is more powerful stands as the judge and the salvation of us all. Amen.